Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good evening, ladies and boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored, and it is really nice to recline during this show. And of course, Tommy's sitting over there. What's up, dude?
Not much, man. How you doing?
I'm totally reclined. I'm in a good mood. I'm glad to be here.
That's a good thing. I like it.
It's a good deal, and we got a big show, lots of big stuff. So what's coming up?
We do. It's exciting. We've got new Red Dead details. I've just talked about that on the roundtable, and then they came out with stuff. So we'll get into that here in just a little bit. Also, new Doom details, because QuakeCon is going on right now, and so that also happened. And so two pretty big games.
Why are we not there?
It's a good question, because I honestly completely forgot about it until I saw news a couple of days ago. Like, oh crap, that's like down the street from me. Like, that's in my town. And I'm not paying attention to it at all. So, we've got that to talk about. We've also got details about Nintendo's online service we'll get to in a little bit. And if we have time, a lot more stuff, including some Madden controversies. But it's going to be packed. We've got a lot to get to today. So show notes are going to be big, gaminguncensored.com. Before that, how you doing, man?
I'm good. I've actually played some games this week, which I will complain about whenever you want to get around to the complaining section of the show, because I got a lot of freaking complaining to do. I've played some games this week. I have eaten some good food. I feel good. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, that's awesome. I've played no games, really. I played God of War for about 20 minutes today, and that's been it. I've been slammed.
Dude,
and so
that game is so freaking awesome.
I'm so sad I can't play it more. I'm hoping maybe tonight to be able to squeeze in an hour or so, depending on if the little girl decides to go to sleep easy tonight. I might get a little bit more of it in. I'm jonesing for it.
I mean, it's like, I can't even describe it. So awesome. You just like, it is one of those. I can't believe I'm about to say this, because we're talking about God of War, but it is a generational title. it is like, it is one of the titles of this generation.
I think I would agree with that. I mean, let's get through it before I'm that definitive, but it's well on its way. And I just feel like we may have 3 or 4 of those games this year, you know, like just such a turning into such a big year for games. God of War wasn't even on my radar as going to be that level of greatness. I was going to play it from the very beginning. I love God of War. I've enjoyed the franchise, but it's truly different, and it's a big, big deal. And so, yeah, I agree weirdly. So, tell me about what you've been playing. Since I haven't been playing anything, I want to live vicariously through you.
So here's the thing. I told you, like, during the roundtable that I've been playing Fallout 4, okay? And when I say that I've been playing Fallout 4, I've been playing Fallout 4 like you've been playing God of War. Like,
sure.
I squeeze in a little time here and there, and that's it. But I got through. I got to Concord, which is the first area. I went through the museum type area.
Yep.
And I got a lot of complaining because, and you didn't tell me this, maybe you don't feel the same way, but freaking they turned Fallout into a first-person shooter. Like, for crying out loud, man. I played Fallout 3 and Fallout 4 in melee mode. Like, I did both games as a melee character. I built weapons that allowed me to beat the crap out of people. And the main reason that I did that was so that I wouldn't have to worry about ammo. And in Fallout 4, I tried that for about 10 minutes and got mowed down.
Yeah.
And I said to myself, okay, what happens if I pick up a gun and it worked like 100% better, which I really hate.
Yeah.
Because it's not that good of a first-person shooter. It's like, remember Bioshock Infinite? Remember that?
Uh-huh.
And like, it's a passable first-person shooter, but that's not why you play it.
Yes.
That's what this feels like.
Absolutely. Yeah. I would not disagree with you there. The only difference I have is that I played Fallout 3 as a shooter more than as a melee combat as
See,
well.
See, I don't know how you would play Fallout 3 as a shooter.
It's a blend of both, for sure. And it's been so long since I played Fallout 4. I'm trying to remember how much... I know I did quite a bit of melee combat. I'm trying to think of, like... I felt like I ramped up much more as you went through. Fallout 4 starts weird because you feel both overpowered and underpowered in different ways, you know what I mean? Because you get power armor right there in Concord at the museum. Like, it's so right. Early in the game. But then there's all these restrictions on the power armor, too, of you know, needing the power cores and all this kind of stuff. And so, yeah, it's definitely different.
It's definitely different, and I'm not going to say it's bad. I don't know that I like it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay, part of the problem is that when you run up on somebody, the AI has gotten better.
Yes.
Like, it part of the issue is for me, and we've talked about the fact that I do not have reflexes, right? So when I run up on somebody and I try to beat them to death with, you know, a baton, and they can actually shoot me before I get there, that's not good.
That's fair.
Like, that's the thing. And I don't know. I did the research. And I have more than 500 hours, like way over 500 hours in Fallout 3 in New Vegas. And I can tell you, I've died more in the first 2 hours of Fallout 4 than I ever did in either one of those games. Because it's just, it is... it's geared differently.
Yes.
Like, we've talked about the fact that it's faster, the AI is better, there's way less room for mistakes, and it's not about cranking it down to easy mode. It's not about that. It's about, it's a new generation Fallout.
Yeah.
And Fallout 76... it's going to be the same way.
Yes. It's going to be very different, too, which is a little terrifying. Yeah. I'll say that, again, I'm a proponent of Fallout 4. I really enjoyed the game, and I'm learning more and more, at least with the Gaming Uncensored community. I think I'm the minority there. But it's a different game. It's a different style. And I liked Fallout 4. We were just talking about God of War being a, one of those generational titles. Fallout 4 wasn't. It was a good game that I really enjoyed, and then I put it down, and I kind of moved on with my life. And I play mostly those games, you know? Like, not every game is going to be at the caliber of a Zelda or God of War or something like that. I feel like we have more of those now. And so, like, right. proportionally, the games that I'm playing, this is going down a weird path, but it made it pop into my head, and so here we go. Proportionally, the number of games that I'm playing that are, like, super high-caliber, fantastic games is just higher because there's more of them, and I have less time to play games, and so I'm playing fewer games, and so the games that I play have to be, or don't have to be, but I choose for them to be those very high-caliber games, and so... Then, you know, especially AAA titles. I play tons of indie games. We talk about that a lot. Now, obviously, all those, with rare exception, aren't going to be in that kind of top echelon. There's a lot of AAA titles that come out that I don't touch because I know they're going to be okay. They're going to be fine, but they're not that high caliber, and I don't have time for fine at this point. And Fallout 4 kind of falls into that fine area. Fallout 3 probably did too for me. But it was at a different time. And so
the thing, Fallout 3 and maybe even New Vegas more so, Fallout 3 and New Vegas were those titles for me.
Yeah.
Because like I said, New Vegas was just, it did all the stuff that Fallout is doing now that people want. Wow, it's new and it's cool. No, it's not. You didn't play New Vegas. New Vegas did all of that, but it did it in that Fallout 3 style without turning it into BioShock. like I'm playing it and I had the thought that it's like somebody built a Call of Duty mod and put Call of Duty in a Fallout universe with, like, weird mechanics.
Right, yeah. Call of Duty is a much better shooter.
That's what it feels like. Yeah. Yeah. But that's what it feels like. It's like they took Call of Duty and gave it Fallout mechanics and said, here, have fun with the shooter. That's what it feels like.
Yeah. I would guess that more people play it like I do than play it like you do as more of a shooter, just kind of instinctually. And so I bet a lot of that kind of shift is because that's the where they saw people were at. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, well, most people have reflexes.
Right.
Like
yes.
And like you said during the roundtable, I went out and I got a mod that actually stops time, pauses the game when you go into VATS
It
did in Fallout 3 in New Vegas. I haven't tested it, so I don't know. But this game is geared to be more real-time anyway.
Yes.
Like, it's very obvious that they really, like, you can use that, but they would really rather you didn't.
Yep.
And I, like, to me, that kind of bothers me because that is Fallout. Like, that's what Fallout does.
Sure. I would make the argument that I liked how the VAT system worked in Fallout 4, because it's still there, but it feels a little bit more active. And so for the way that I play Fallout, it's a little bit more natural, where I felt Fallout 3 VATs is a little bit more cumbersome. Like, it slows the game down too much for me. But again, we're coming at it from very different perspectives, and so...
Right.
I definitely hear how that factors differently there.
So we're going to see how it goes. Like, I don't see myself, like, you walk into that room with the Minutemen and they're like, okay, there was like 20 of us and now there's 5. And they're like, can you help us get this power armor? We're going to wipe out these raiders. And like I'm watching this whole thing and I'm like, okay, I know that I just started, I know I'm new, but I kind of don't care. Like, I kind of don't care. Like, it's what I don't know how to say it other than when I got to the point where I'm in Megaton and there's a huge nuke right in the middle of the city, and some dude walks up and goes, you know, somebody's got to disarm that.
Right.
And you do, and they give you the house, and you become sort of kind of the hero of Megaton. I was way more invested instantly than I am in this right now. And I don't know why.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
that's how I feel.
Yeah, and I think part of it's perspective after you've played the other game, you have an expectation that this one isn't at the same place, which is fair. I totally hear
which,
you there.
It may get there. Like, I'm not completely tearing apart Fallout 4. It may get there. I may get there with it where I'm like, okay, this feels like Fallout, but it ain't there right now.
I will say on that specific point, of the like different factions that you can partner with or deal with in the game, I feel like the Minutemen are the least interesting. Like, I kind of abandoned them as my primary people pretty quickly because they just, yeah. Like you said, just didn't captivate me. And so I ended up working with other factions more so. And at a certain point in the game, you kind of have to make an allegiance to a faction or whatever. And so the Minutemen weren't it for me.
Yeah, like, I walked up on it and I'm like, okay, I don't know what you guys' deal are, but you kind of suck. Because they're trying to get a power core and... Like, it was funny because that I walked up and they're like, yeah, we need a power cord because we've got this armor upstairs that we need to power up. And my dude was literally like, yeah, I already got it.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, okay. Well, the armor's upstairs. Like, I automatically feel like the smartest dude in the room because I knew how to lockpick.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
Like, it's kind of one of those things. It's like walking into a Walmart and realizing you're the smartest guy there. That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it feels like with the Minutemen. So, I'm going to keep playing, and I'm going to... enjoy it because it's Fallout, but back to what you were saying, it ain't God of War, and it ain't gonna be Spider-Man, and it ain't gonna be Red Dead, which we'll talk about in a second.
Yep, that's absolutely correct, and that's okay. Not every game has to be that, and like I said, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a fun game, and it's not a game I'm planning ever to go back to. You know, like, I had my experience with it, I enjoyed it, and then I moved on.
It's not, what I think is funny is it ain't Skyrim.
Sure. Like, it's definitely like, not that. Skyrim was a generational game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fallout 4.
It totally was.
So, all that being said, should we get into some Red Dead stuff?
Let's do it.
So on the round table, we said, hey, Red Dead's gone silent. We don't know what's going on with that. Maybe we should be worried. And then Rockstar was like, hey, we're going to give you some gameplay. And then they gave us some gameplay. And I'm not worried anymore because I really dug this. We haven't talked about it with each other yet about how each other feels about it. So I'm interested to get your thoughts here in just a second. But I'll give kind of the... If you haven't seen it, I'm assuming most people have at this point if you're interested in Red Dead. But if you haven't seen it, go by the show notes, gamingUncensored.com, to see that. While I'm mentioning gamingUncensored.com, let me sidetrack for a second to mention the Patreon guys so I don't forget. Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, and Zeke. Thank all you guys, of course, for your contributions. We appreciate it. Because you're going to buy us Red Dead pretty soon, which we're going to be pretty stoked about as well. So go by GamingUncensored.com if you're interested in supporting us on Patreon. So back to Red Dead. We got, what is it, like 7 minutes, this gameplay explainer, like, kind of trailer
it's
thing?
Like 6.5. And like, here's my thing. Real quick, I'm glad that you called it that. Because I'm like, I feel like I've just walked into an office training video.
Right.
With guns and dynamite and cursing cowboys
yes.
and stuff. Like, it totally feels like an office training video.
It does. The voiceover lady has that very, like, corporate kind of sound and whatever. Like, at first I was like, is this something Nintendo did? Because this kind of sounds like something Nintendo would do. But, like, here's a dude with a shotgun blowing people's heads off. It's like, probably not Nintendo. So, the video is... an explainer of several mechanics in the game, and then it teases that there's going to be another video teasing more mechanics at the end of it. So this isn't everything, but it gives you a good taste of what Red Dead's going to be and explains kind of some of the questions that people had about it, specifically on how the game's going to play, and it shows you some of that. And so I'll hit on a couple of highlights, at least, that I picked out, and then we can discuss, and I'd like to hear things that you picked out as well. And so... the look, the style, all that stuff, I think is really pretty. It looks like a Rockstar game, and I will say this about Rockstar games, Grand Theft Auto, most notably to me. Like, they're never the prettiest game out.
This is really freaking pretty.
It's really pretty. It's not still, in my opinion, going to stand up against some of the other things that's going to come out against.
It ain't God of War.
It's not God of War. Yeah, speaking of, God of War is a freaking beautiful game. It's not quite that level of fidelity, but that's super nitpicky at this point because everything's super pretty. It's super pretty. It looks good, and it's not too realistic that it gets into that uncanny valley area. Like, it still feels kind of comfortable or whatever. But, like, the environment looks awesome. Like, Red Dead, the first Red Dead Redemption was super cool because it was this Western game that there wasn't much to compare it to. There's not a lot of games in that world. And so this is kind of taking that back on. But it feels like the scale of it is going to be really big because it shows you kind of mountain areas and it shows you big plains and deserts. And, like, it just feels like the scope of the game is going to be huge.
So remember... remember The Witcher 3?
Uh-huh.
And remember, like, all the different options and all the different things you could do, and you go in and you sit down and you're playing Gwent and you're doing this and you're doing that, and oh, there's a girl! And, then, you know, there's some boobs and stuff going on, and you got all kinds of options. And wait, there's a dude over here with, like, some quests and he wants to go kill somebody. And then there's a lady over here that, like, lost her brother. Like, he's off in the wilderness somewhere. This feels very similar.
Yes. Yeah, it feels like a game. And, like, they are very good with Grand Theft Auto. And so I would hope it would translate kind of the same here. Grand Theft Auto is a wonderful example of that same idea where, like, you just kind of get thrown into the world and then you just go... do stuff, and some of it's like the main story and some of it's not, and half the time you don't even know, you know, like you're just like following breadcrumbs
like I said, it's like, oh, naked girl, whoa, right. Okay.
Which yeah, also definitely happens, and I would expect to happen in this game as well. It's definitely going to be very mature, so but yeah, like it feels like it's just going to throw you, and even more so than the first Red Dead, which I loved. It was a fantastic game. This one really feels like it's just going to be immersive in this turn of the century frontier life, and I dig that. And for you and me specifically, I don't know if everybody feels this way, but you and I grew up in, you know, the kind of rural West in West Texas. Like, we grew up with kind of cowboy culture and all that kind of stuff. You and I both watched a ton of Westerns growing up because our families grew up in that world as well, and that was a big deal. And so I think even more for us, we kind of have this romanticized idea about the Wild West, and this just plays right into it.
Well, it's part of it is because that's like, seriously, I think it's funny that when we talk to somebody, when you and I talk to somebody who listens to the show, especially from, like, across the pond, and they make, you know, wisecracks about, hey, do you guys ride horses everywhere? No, but but like I've got them in my front yard,
right?
like I've got like I can go out and get a saddle and throw a saddle on it and absolutely. Off we go, you know, and like I can go not very far and find a Bissell.
Yep.
Your
dad and my father-in-law wear cowboy hats.
Yes.
Like
and boots and spurs.
Oh yeah.
And
my father-in-law, if he's going outside the house, will always be wearing a long sleeve button up shirt, no matter how hot it is outside, and will always be wearing cowboy boots, exclusive yes. and jeans. Except if he's like going to church and he's wearing slacks and the exact same thing. Always cowboy boots, always a long sleeve button up shirt. Like, without exception. Like, it's the world we grew up in.
And it, like, when we say that, we're not from that. That's where we live.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And so, this, and you said it absolutely correctly, I'm excited about this because this is where I live. Because... I'll just tell a quick story. My dad works for a guy who is a cattle guy, major cattle guy in the area. And he got his ankles replaced. And one thing he asked the doctor when he got his ankles replaced is, okay, doc, this is done. When can I get back on a horse? And the doctor looked at him and said, really? Because I thought you people use four-wheelers for everything. The doctor was in San Antonio and had no clue.
Yeah.
Like, no, you use a horse. They use four-wheelers for some stuff, a lot of stuff. But if there's a lot of stuff that if you want to get somewhere, you use a horse.
Sure.
And that's no joke.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. So on that point alone, the game's obviously very appealing. Lots of other things I think are really appealing about it as well. So we'll dig into some of the other details. They talked about the combat quite a bit to give you an idea. And so, of course, there's going to be shooter mechanics for it. And I'll say this as much as I'm bragging on Rockstar. One thing that they've never been great at is shooting mechanics. And so it looks like they've put some work into it. It's still
not there.
It's a third-person game, and so it's always going to be a little rough. Like, it's just hard to do. And especially, like, if you're doing Mass Effect and you can make up the weapons, you know? Like, they have a lot of freedom to make the weapons do whatever they want to do for a sci-fi game. You can't do that with a Wild West game. Like, there's certain physics that a shotgun or a pistol should have that you kind of have to stick to. And so they're trying really hard to get that. And I think it'll be passable. It's not going to be amazing. But on the other side of that, they also expressed how much the melee combat is going to play a big role in the game, and that actually looks like it works a lot better, and so I think that'll be more enjoyable. And so I think you're going to want to avoid shootouts and try to get into that kind of hand-to-hand combat.
It's going to be more enjoyable, but to me it still looks clunky.
Yeah.
Like, it still looks like, okay, you're going to be able to figure this out, but it's not going to work exactly the way that you think.
Yeah, and it's not a game we're playing for the gameplay, the combat gameplay anyway. And so as long as it's not horrible, just a really bad experience, we're going to get by. It showed like how you can switch between weapons really quick. And so there's this one shootout where he's got like a six shooter, and then he pulls out a shotgun really quick. And it was cool, and it looks fluid. And then there's also the, I think they call it Deadeye, the kind of bullet time, Max Payne-ish kind of thing, where time slows down and you like mark your enemies. And then when time speeds back up, he shoots them all really fast. And something like that, I think, will help with the fact that the gunplay probably isn't going to be awesome. But I think it'll be passable. I'm not worried about it. Nothing in this trailer made me go, oh, crap, this isn't going to work at all. I think it's going to be fine. So
I think it's going to be a blast. And because of, you've talked about multiple times how big a deal Westworld is.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that are in that world that eat that up. This is gonna blow their minds.
Yeah.
And I think Rockstar's gonna do what they do and sell 8 billion copies, and you know they're gonna make a bazillion dollars, and we're all gonna be happy.
I do. I think you're absolutely right, and I was skeptical about that a week ago. I'm not skeptical about that anymore. It also showed some of the ways that you'll interact with other characters in the world, and this is my favorite thing from the whole gameplay thing is how you can. So you're playing as this member of this Wild West gang, and so it talked about how you get to kind of choose, you know, do you want to be more, you know, righteous, or you want to be a good character, or do you want to be more ruthless and evil or whatever. And so when you come across, like, people in the world, you kind of choose how you want to interact with them. If there's, like, a conflict going on, you can choose to intervene, or you can choose to just let it happen, however it happens. And so it showed some examples of this where you're like passing by something happening, and you have options to either try to diffuse the situation, or you can antagonize the person, or you can be kind of agnostic about the whole thing and just move on or whatever. And it seems like that's going to play a big role in like what kind of branching elements happen. And so some characters, I'm sure, are going to respond well to you being more engaged, and there's probably going to be some characters that will respond better when you don't engage them directly, or when you sass them or whatever.
Did you ever see American Outlaws?
No. I'm trying
you
to remember.
Did not ever
so,
see
no.
American Outlaws? Seriously, you did never see American Outlaws?
Nuh-uh.
Okay, you have to go get that. When you get Baby Driver, go get American Outlaws.
Fair.
Because it's about Jesse James and the James boys, and why they started doing what they do. And I thought, as I'm watching this, if the Jameses and the Youngers show up, it's over. like they got me, that's it. And you need to go watch American Outlaws, and you'll get it, because if they all show up, like, I'm in this for like 50 hours.
Yeah.
And I say that as a guy that's probably not going to get to play it, which I'm depressed about.
Yeah, I'm hopeful they'll bring it to PC at some point. They did with Grand Theft Auto. It just takes them a while, and so I hope they get there. At some point. So
seriously, dude, go find American Outlaws. It's great.
I'll also mention it showed off some of the kind of mini game components, which is something Rockstar always does a lot of. And so I think Grand Theft Auto and being able to like go play pool or darts or something like that in a bar. This one has like a poker game. So you're a part of this gang, and a big part of the gameplay appears to be like setting up camps with your gang and going different places or whatever. And so around the campfire, you can have poker games, or you can go hunting and fishing, which there's going to be benefits to going hunting and bringing back food for the gang and all this kind of stuff. And so it looks like, or feels like, it's going to be very similar to like The Witcher or something like that, where so much of what you do in the game is what might be considered mundane activities, not like, again, not big saving the world activities that we think of in video games. But as long as they can make them compelling, are going to be probably pretty fun, because I spent hours playing Gwent in The Witcher, you know, or I've spent so much time in Grand Theft Auto doing street races or whatever. And so it's all those little things that Rockstar has proven in the past that they can pull off that I think is really going to be the thing that not only makes a game fun, but really pushes over the top immersion. Why is the horse is the same thing? It focuses a lot on the horse and how much your relationship with the horse matters, and how the gameplay will improve as far as the horse mechanics if you treat your horse better and all that good stuff, which something like Zelda did, but I think this is going to be a whole lot deeper than like Zelda horse mechanics.
And you sort of brought it up earlier, but I am wondering if this is the one Rockstar game that has been in existence that has a chance to get my dad and your father-in-law. because the reason I bring this up is my dad and your father-in-law are, and your mother-in-law and my mother are extremely straight-laced people, okay? It's not a lot of cursing, not a lot of drinking. Everybody goes to church on Sunday. We are careful about what we watch on TV, all that. But all that goes out the window if there's a Western on.
Yeah.
Like, in my house, if you walk out and see I have naked woman on TV, it's because it was in a Western that was made 50 years ago. Like, that does happen. And so this is the title that has the very slim potential to get both of them.
Yeah. If ever there was one, for those reasons, at least for my father-in-law, it won't ever happen. But it is a game that if he saw me playing it, he would go, oh, what's that? You know, like, he wouldn't stick with it for any amount of time. But it would start a conversation with us, and that's more than any other game I play, for sure.
Right.
So, there's a lot of other stuff in the trailer, and there's going to be another video coming out soon, and this game's only a couple months away, and so that will kind of end the Red Dead conversation there, though we could go on, and there's a lot to talk about. If you haven't seen it, it's worth seeing, so go by GamingUncensored.com. You can find the video there. The next story is also a video. It's Doom, which we have now of gameplay of it as well. This happened again at QuakeCon, which is happening right down the road from me here. And I missed it, which is so sad. one day we're going to get to one of these gaming conventions. But we won't talk nearly as long about this one because I think it's a little bit more predictable. There's not a lot that you can screw up with Doom, in my opinion, at least at this point. They made the last Doom game really good, and so this feels like more of the same. Like, they put in more demons, the environments look even bigger and crazier, and it's fast, it's chaotic, it's like stuff flying everywhere, and it looks like a lot of fun.
And one thing that they put in that I don't know whether they put it in the first one because I haven't played enough of it to know. But did you notice there's a lot of Riddick-style close quarters stuff?
There is.
Which when I immediately saw it, I said, Riddick, that's Riddick. That's what Riddick does. Because Riddick is another one of those titles that it's an all right first-person shooter. But what made it was the close quarter stuff.
Yeah.
And Doom, it's not going to make Doom, but it's something that I don't think was quite as utilized in the first title.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I haven't played much of it either. And so, I mean, you know, we played, I think, just about all of it. We played sitting in the same room together. So the Doom Slayer dude has like a retractable like bayonet on his arm, essentially a big kind of machete sized blade, and there's a lot of jabbing demons through the face with this blade, which is pretty entertaining in the trailer. Also, I'll note the shotgun has a grappling hook on it, which they call the meat hook. It's also very entertaining. Thank you, guys. That like you can shoot at enemies, especially like the flying weird whatever enemies they are, and you can like pull yourself to them, and so it's a way not only to engage in combat but also navigate the environment, and so you can use this to kind of pull yourself around to upper levels and stuff, which looks like a lot of fun. Again, it goes to the speed and just kind of the hectic craziness of this game, but it feels like it could be very fluid, and as long as like you don't totally suck at it, would make you feel pretty awesome as a character in this game, that you're just dominating things, like flying around with this grappling hook and shotgun combination. You just pull yourself to it and blast them.
I feel bad because back on this discussion that we had earlier of really, really good games that are going to own us, this Doom is not one of those.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to play it, and I'm going to like it, but I'm not going to play it to the end and be like, it's the most awesome thing ever, because I got Spider-Man, I got God of War, I got Red Dead, I got I got 8 zillion other things to play.
Yeah. It's you're spot on. It's one of those games that's going to be fun and probably is going to be fairly short, and it's going to be a nice kind of stopgap between those big, awesome, you know, stay with you forever games. I think it's going to be plenty fun. They didn't talk about multiplayer at all that I noticed at this point. That'll obviously be a component as well, I would imagine. But it as a 10-hour, you know, crazy shooter, looks like it'll be a good time. One of the things they showed off that's pretty cool with it is that, like, they called it destructive demons, that, like, all of the enemies, like, as you blast them with your weapons, like, chunks will come off of them while they're still coming at you. And so there's a big, like, I forget what they called it, but it's kind of the antithesis of the Doom Slayer, like his arch nemesis or whatever. Big demon with horns and like big bulky dude. It showed like a little bit of gameplay with that, where he's shooting at him with like the shotgun, I think, and it's like blowing like chunks of flesh off his chest to the point where like you can see the demon's ribs, you know. And it's like, that's pretty gnarly, you know, like that's pretty gory in the best kind of way. And so just in the pure testosterone, kind of crazy, like heavy metal music in the background the whole time, just big weapons that are ridiculously overpowered, but big demons that are also ridiculously overpowered, so you need the overpowered weapons just to keep up, kind of thing, makes it feel like it's just going to be like pure testosterone fun. Not a story here, not anything outside of just over the top ridiculous fun gameplay.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that.
Me too. Like, there's definitely like, a place in the world for those type of games.
Like you said, it's a diversion. You have kids. I have little kids in my house all the time. Probably not going to play this one for quite a long time.
Yeah.
but we'll get there eventually. They just may be 35 before we do.
Yeah.
I feel like Doom is one of those titles that we are at the age where I look at it and I go, okay, yeah, that's cool. I'll get to that at some point.
Yeah.
I feel bad because me from 20 years ago would have been like, oh, awesome.
Right.
Not so much anymore.
Yep. Yep.
Like,
it is what it is. We're getting old.
Yeah.
Here we are. So.
We are, absolutely.
But we still love nostalgia, and Doom is definitely nostalgic because that's one of the first-person shooters I remember playing, that and Wolfenstein 3D. You know, that was it. When we were young, those were the shooters, and they were so edgy and crazy and kind of cool. 30 years later or so, that both of those titles are still big things. And so
man,
it's just
world.
That nostalgia. I know, right? Speaking of, right. Let's talk about Nintendo, which is also tapping into a lot of that nostalgia now as well. The online services for the Switch have been detailed a little bit more, and so here's what we know about them. First of all, you're going to need the online membership to play online games in the future. So far with the Switch, that's all been free. That won't be free after September, at least is my understanding. However, the pricing is pretty good on this. It's $20 for a year. So significantly cheaper than the online
services.
Yeah.
That is nice.
So if you compare that to PlayStation Plus or the Xbox Live, it's significantly better. And you can do a family membership for $35 a year, where you can invite up to 7 other people to join your family group, and you'll all have access to the Switch Online stuff. I'm assuming that includes using it concurrently, because if you're a family, you probably want to play games against each other online as well.
If you're Chad.
Yeah, no joke. That seems like a really good deal as well. And so the price point seems solid. The stuff that you get with it is, kind of what we expect at this point. So online gameplay. But this is cool. Again, this is getting into the nostalgia part of it, and so I'm excited about this. They will have the what they're calling the Nintendo Entertainment System, Nintendo Switch Online, which is kind of a virtual console. What we've been asking for and what we've spent a lot of time talking about on the last roundtable, they're giving us at least a kind of similar thing to that, and could explain a little bit of why they're suddenly in this ROM crackdown mode. So it's going to launch with 20 games, all NES games, NES. I didn't put this story on here. Oh, my goodness. Sorry, sidebar for just a second. Nintendo apparently officially said the proper pronunciation of the shortening of Nintendo Entertainment System is NES and not NES. And I've always been an NES guy, so that kind of bummed me out. And so I'm still going to call it NES probably, but apparently from Nintendo's standpoint, it should be NES. So there you go.
The NES.
So it will launch with 20 NES games. Nope, can't do it. Just sounds weird. 20 NES games, including among those, this isn't the whole list, but including soccer and tennis and balloon fight. And so you're like, eh. And then you get to the good stuff. Dr. Mario, which I really enjoyed Dr. Mario. And then Super Mario, Super Mario Brothers 3, and The Legend of Zelda will be part of that, the original Legend of Zelda game. And so those are big. And this is the thing that's really like them doing something new with this idea as well. Many of these titles will now have an online mode to them. And so you will be able to play multiplayer online as opposed to just being able to play multiplayer local with something like the original Mario Brothers, not even Super Mario Brothers, but the original Mario Brothers, where it was just a one-on-one battle game. You'll be able to play that now against somebody else online, at least is my assumption with how they're talking about this. So that's pretty cool. That's kind of a legit thing. Just for $20 a year to have access to that alone, I'm into. Like, I being able to get the original Zelda, Super Mario Brothers 3, and Dr. Mario, Donkey Kong's on there as well. But those three games, to me, of the ones they've teased so far, are enough for me to justify the $20 a year.
Are you kidding me? It's like, there's nothing out there that you can pay $20 for a year and get anything.
Yeah.
Like... They give me one of those, and I'm like, okay, here's my $20. All you gotta do is add like four more, and like it's to me, it's like a PlayStation Plus like kind of a thing. Like they've got me perpetually.
Yep.
If that's your price, then fine, yep. Here, whatever.
I don't play a ton of Switch games online. I played Mario Kart online, and I haven't played Mario Tennis yet, and I'm kind of itching for it because I love Mario Tennis. But I haven't gotten to it yet, but when I do, I'll play it online. Most Nintendo stuff, I don't care that much about the online stuff, and so I could do without the online. If it was just $20 a year for online access, I'd kind of be like, I probably don't need it. But $20 a year for online access and the classic NES games and hopefully Super Nintendo games following not far behind. Like, that's obviously the next logical step here. If you do the same thing and you're giving me basically the same games that are on the hardware versions of the NES Classic and the Super NES Classic, if you give me those on Switch Online, you got me forever, you know? Like, give me a Link to the Past, a game that I've played numerous times. I will play it again. Like, I will start it today, you know, like on the Switch. If you give it to me on the Switch as part of this selection, absolutely. So that, to me, is the thing that pushes this over the top to a no-brainer.
And I can't believe I'm about to say this, because Nintendo's laughing all the way to the bank that you're talking that way. Because we both, you and I both, I'm looking at my closet, have SNESs.
Yep.
Like, in the closet. Like, we can plug them in today, but we don't. We're like, give it to us on the Switch. And I'm like, how stupid is that? Because we have the thing right here. But here's what sells it to me, and you're going to laugh at this. The reason this is so cool, and I've not really said this about Switch titles yet, the reason this is going to rock so hard is you can take these classic games and you can put your butt on your couch next to your wife, and yeah, you're playing a 30-year-old game on a handheld system. Like, that's awesome.
Yep. That's 100% the selling point to me, is the fact that I can have, you know, those games anywhere. Like, just even having Chrono Trigger on the 3DS or the DS was so cool to me. Like, that's the last time I played Chrono Trigger was in a portable version, and I just love the experience. Like, there's just something about those old nostalgic games of the Nintendo, Super Nintendo era, and Sega Genesis would be the same way to me, that translates so well to a modern handheld, whereas, you know, stuff that came out on the PlayStation and later, I don't think would. I don't think it would have that same connection. But something about those games that you could only play as a kid on the TV, and you wanted so bad for the Game Boy to look like the Nintendo or Super Nintendo, you know, and it never did. And when Sega did the Game Gear and it kind of looked like the Genesis graphics, it was the coolest thing ever. Like, now, like, I can play things on the Switch that look infinitely better. But there's something nostalgic about being able to play those games in that handheld mode that, yeah.
Well,
I wouldn't
like,
think about
like
playing them on a big screen now. It just seems like a handheld is the place that those games belong.
And like I said, if they were releasing this on the virtual console, you would be excited, and I'd be like, eh, you've bought these games four different times. What is wrong with you?
Right.
But the fact that it's mobile changes the whole deal.
100%. Yep. The other thing that you'll get with your Nintendo Switch Online service is cloud save backups, which is cool and a nice feature, and maybe not something you'd ever use, but just nice to know it's there. So if you ever lose your Switch, break your Switch, go buy a new Switch, whatever it is, it's going to be easy to get your saves. To me, that's a no-brainer because you have cloud saves everywhere at this point, but a nice feature of the service as well.
You know, they did that for folks like Chad, that have a Switch in every freaking room, for crying out loud. Look, here's the thing. I love Chad. I really do. But, dude, do you know what kind of a prick you sound like? I've got to have a Switch in every freaking... Back me up, man. Back me up. Like, I just want to punch the guy in his face.
I mean, if you've got all the TVs, you got to have something to plug into them, right?
Yeah, I mean, right. Like, I feel like I want to send his kids down in their house with all the shiny crap and be like, there are kids starving in China. Like, I want to have that, because that's the discussion that our parents had with
absolutely
us.
Yep.
For like, until we were like 20. That's what we heard.
Yeah.
So yeah, I like it. It's that's the reason they're doing this, because there's actually people out there that have multiple Switches.
God bless them. Good for them. Whatever.
That's not us.
That's not us.
But they do exist.
They do. A few things to finish up on. Lots of stuff we're not getting to today, so go by the show notes, gamingcensored.com, to see stuff we missed, including details on the God of War Game Plus mode, a new Sony PlayStation 4 SKU celebrating 500 million PlayStation consoles, hardware sold over the generational span of all PlayStation products. So from PlayStation through PlayStation 4 with Vita and all the stuff in between. I'll mention a couple of quick things and then we'll get to game releases. Tekken 7 is getting some new characters that you may not care about, but one that was shocking and weird and interesting to me is it's getting Negan. Negan from The Walking Dead is going to be in Tekken 7.
I so want to give him Negan quote, but I can't do it. Nice guys, I know I have it in my head that I want to say it, but I'm not gonna.
That's fair.
I just Negan, and this is why they're doing it. And people see Negan on the TV show and they go, that's awesome. But I've talked about before that Negan on the TV show is like 1/10 of Negan in the comic.
Yeah.
Negan, in general, as a character, is one of the best written characters anywhere, anytime, ever.
Yeah.
And that's why he's showing up in a random Tekken game, because he is that good of a character.
As opposed to a Rick Grimes or yes. any other Walking Dead character you want to pull out. Yeah, I agree with that.
Like, for crying out loud, give me that bat. Holy cow, I can I don't take somebody out with Lucille.
Quite see it in the world of Tekken, but whatever. I'll do it. Bash some skulls with Lucille. So, Super Smash Brothers is also getting another character. Simon Belmont from Castlevania is going to be part of Super Smash Brothers now. Also kind of cool, like weird and whatever, but there you go.
About freaking time, holy cow.
I know. And then really quickly on the game releases for this week. By the way, I'll tease a little bit here. I'm just clicking through the show notes to get to the game releases. Sonic the Hedgehog for the like weird live action blended CG movie, whatever is coming. I don't understand it, but we've already talked about like Jim Carrey is going to be in it. And the guy who plays Cyclops, that's on James Marsden. Is that his name? Is on yes. Westworld. Now Sonic the Hedgehog has a voice. So the actual character. So I'll tease that and let you go click on it to see who the voice of Sonic the Hedgehog is going to be. Really quick on releases. Madden comes out this week, or came out this week. 82 on Metacritic, 85 on the Xbox One. Interesting that it's 3 points higher on the Xbox One than the PlayStation 4. Dead Cells, which is a really cool looking kind of Metroidvania title, is on PS4, Xbox, Switch, and PC. So wherever you play games, you can get a hold of that one. It's getting good reviews. Seems like a really, really fun game. Overcooked 2, which we saw at E3 and we talked about, is now out. Again, right there in the kind of mid-80s range. Cosmic Star Heroine is on the Switch. Been out on the PC for a while. I actually have this on the PC on my Steam library and haven't got to it yet. It's like an old-school kind of JRPG that looks super cool. We Happy Few is out, which is
nice.
Not getting great reviews right now, which is kind of a bummer because I want it to be a really good game. I didn't realize this. It's listed at $60 on Steam. It's on sale right now, as most Steam games are when they launch, for like 15% off. But I thought that was going to be like a $30 game. There's no way I'm paying $60 for that. And apparently it's got all kinds of technical issues right now, and I saw something from the developer saying that they're working on that and pushing updates and all that kind of stuff. But a little bit of a bummer that game's not launching super strong, and so it is what it is. But yeah,
you know what it is. I'll tell you what it is, and I'm starting to feel this, and I think it's going to get worse. The reason we want it to be good, we haven't really talked about it in a while, and I don't know if you feel the same way, but I'm kind of getting an itch for my BioShock fix.
Yeah.
Like, I'm kind of like, BioShock is one of those things out there that there's nothing out there that's like it. And it's been, what, 5 years, 6 years?
Yeah.
Since Infinite, like, I'm kind of getting to the point where I need a little fix. And I was kind of hoping this would be it.
Yeah.
But maybe not.
I agree. I hope we see a new BioShock soon. Yeah, this doesn't look like it's quite... I'm hoping that they'll get some updates and fix some of the issues. What I've read of reviews so far is that the game is actually pretty cool and the story is interesting and all that kind of stuff. It's just that the gameplay itself is really broken and makes it really hard to enjoy, and that's a bummer. When you got a good concept, it's I think easy to maybe neglect the gameplay, and if you do that too much, obviously you run into a big problem. One more I'll mention, Monster Hunter World is now on PC as well, and so you can go pick that up on Steam, which is also going to cost you $60 at this point. It is not on sale, so it is $60 straight up, but if you've been waiting for that on PC, it is now there. You can go get it on Steam.
I'm not going to do that, even though I know Kevin really, really, really wants it.
I know. That's one of those games that just almost exclusively on hearing Cabbage talk about it. If I had the time to play more games, that would be on my kind of next level list of games that I need to get to. just where I'm at right now, it's not. But I really wish I could get into that one at least for a little bit and play around with
it. Did we mention that we need your money? Because we do. We need your money because we want to play more games. So definitely go by the Patreon, check out stuff over there. I've got to get some content up. I apologize.
You and
I
me
have
both.
I have been really bad. We apologize, guys. I don't feel so bad because we've been doing a show every week.
Yes.
Yeah,
streak continues. Like, here we are again. So it's been coming up on 2 months that we've been doing this. So kudos,
so
man.
So I don't feel so bad about not having the Patreon content because our Patreon time that we were sending is now going to this.
Yeah.
So we apologize.
But we'll still get you something. There's stuff coming.
Well, you know what we need to do? We need to do some video. That's what we really
need. We do need to do that. That would be fun.
That needs to happen. I think that is vastly more entertaining than watching me play games. I don't think that's fun for a lot of people. So we need to do some video, definitely.
Yeah, for sure. Go by the show notes, gamingcensor.com, all the other good stuff, at Podcast GU for Twitter, over at the Facebook page, voicemail line at
509-GAME-210, that's 509-GAME-210, it will cut you off after 3 minutes, so call us back and we'll stitch it together.
Yes, candidly, we did have a segment, for today, we just didn't get to it. So our boy Zeke, we do have a segment in the can from him about the Steam controller, so we will get to that on the show next week, hopefully. But that's it. That's the only one we've got in the can right now, so we need some more. So 509-GAME-210 or record on whatever device you record on, can plug a microphone into and send it to gaminguncensored@gmail.com. Put it on SoundCloud, whatever. If I can hit play on a file, on a website, on whatever, and it makes sound, we'll play it on the show.
Absolutely. And if you probably if you send us a CD in the mail, which I would love to see somebody do that, put a segment on a CD and then have us play it, I would totally do that.
That would by far be the hardest way for us to play it back, but we'd get there.
You know what I would say? That would be something that Derek would do. I know Derek's out there. Derek's creeping around. Derek is probably occasionally listening. That's some crap that Derek would pull.
Yeah.
So now I'm expecting it.
That'd be straight up cassette tape from Derek.
Yeah. Add some freaking loot.
Hey, we'll figure it out. We'll get you on the air.
If he comes back, that's how I want it. give me the oldest of old school that you can give me, and I will take it.
Fair enough.
Granted, Tommy's going to have to do the work, so I don't feel bad, but you know, whatever.
Also fair.
Yeah. So, all of that being said, we've got to wrap up. He's got a kid to put to bed, and my family will be here in about 2 hours, which I'm looking at the clock going, really? Only 2 hours? But they are coming, so we got to get out of here. We got stuff to do. You're in class, you're doing fun stuff, and I'm dealing with life.
Yeah.
So we got to get back to that, which I really don't want to do. But we will be back next week. We are on a roll, like you said. Holy cow. If this keeps up, we're actually going to do like 100 shows this year.
Yeah, it'd be crazy.
Like, that's kind of freaky. So I'm looking forward to that. I know you are too. Thank you guys so much for listening. We are so excited to be here. We hope you enjoy it as much as we enjoy giving it. Are we on Spotify yet, sir?
I don't think so. I'm going to check on that again.
Because I really want to be, I don't know why. I feel like that's an achievement.
Right.
Like if we get on Spotify, it's like, achievement unlocked. Like that needs to happen. So we're trying to get everywhere. We're trying to be accessible to you guys. We hope you dig it. We certainly enjoy doing it. But for now, I think that's about everything. Is there anything else, sir?
I think we're good.
All right, I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. We are Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gamingandcensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.